This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Out of the hot take BS, we bring you best. We bring you sports.
I don't care about bragging rights.
It just introduces more volatility into the equation.
I don't care about victory laps.
Stop it, please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
It is a tremendous football Thursday, draft day in the National Football League. It is You Better You Bet. It is Nick Kostos, it's Ken Barkley, and you here with us on the BetQL Network. Awesome first hour of the show, where we talked with Ron Rivera, former head coach of the Washington Commanders, where he seems pretty convinced the Commanders will select Jaden Daniels with the second overall pick in tonight's NFL draft. In case you missed it, you want to check it out, search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Ken and I also went over the Boston Celtics' stunning upset loss last night at the hands of the Miami Heat, and OKC handling New Orleans, and our opinions of those series moving forward. We'll get into the National Hockey League coming up next hour on the show with our friend Pete Blackburn from the What Chaos Hockey Show. Connor Allen will join us later this hour, giving us his last-minute bets for the NFL draft. I will give you my top 10 mock. We'll start that coming up in 20 minutes. We will do it throughout the show. And it's great to be simulcast now up until 6 o'clock Eastern by our friends over at Stadium. So for the Stadium audience, 2 hours of badass wagertainment coming your way starting right now. And we kick off the fun and frivolity here in our Stadium 2 hours. Let's talk some NBA playoffs. One of the absolute best in the business. Joining us for the first time ever on video, looking resplendent in his blue hoodie, very handsome, the great Mike Gallagher from Establish the Run, host of the Establish the Run NBA podcast. We encourage everybody, if you like basketball, like you actually, you're contractually obligated to follow Mike. And if you don't, like you're a bozo, sorry, like you're a clown, on Twitter at Mike S. Gallagher. My friend, welcome to You Better You Bet, Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley. How's it going? Good to see you.
Doing good. Good seeing you. I got the green screen. Usually I have the Maui backdrop for my stuff. But yeah, excited to talk NBA for sure.
Mike, we already talked about Celtics Heat in the first hour of the show, but want to ask you basically either from a prop standpoint, three-pointers for Miami, whatever, from a game standpoint, like how do you see the rest of this series going? If we were talking about this in the first hour, if you like Miami in any of the games, you're going to get a massive price in every game to play them to cover, to play them to win, to hit a lot of threes, which they seem to like doing against the Celtics. Do you have a strong opinion even on how you see the rest of this series playing out?
No, I never do. I don't bet Miami stuff. Like, just don't do it. So, honestly, let's talk about something else. No, but, I mean, they were really good. They got rid of their zone. They made all the adjustments they needed to make. So I thought it was pretty good stuff overall. But I just don't bet Miami, so... I do think Boston kind of wins in five, though. I feel like they just kind of just blew it.
I said this last hour on the show, Mike, and like, oh, but like, fair enough, yeah. Honestly, because the Heat are like always pretty tough to figure out. I don't know. Yeah. We're just like, what year is this, basically? Caleb Martin was ridiculous last night for Miami. Scored 21 points, made a ton of threes, almost like it's last year. Caleb Martin's points prop for game 3 is 9.5, and I'm gonna have to like stop myself. I would very much like to bet the over. You are very, like, honestly, the smartest person I know with this stuff. What do you think about Caleb Martin's points prop being 9.5 in game three after what he did in game two and his previous success both in the postseason and against this opponent?
Yeah, they need the wing defense, right? So I think it's a pretty good spot for Caleb to kind of be pushed up. They're not going to leave him as open. So that line feels pretty good to me, but he might play a ton. So it seems okay. I'd have to dig in more, but they certainly need him.
Mike, in terms of the second game we saw last night, I've seen two pretty different games in the Pelicans-Thunder series so far, right? Game one, which Dagnall was like, we needed to recalibrate, we needed to figure stuff out. A very low-scoring game, which the Pelicans could have stolen, really, or could have won, and the Thunder escape. And then last night, 124-92, like a demolition by the Thunder. So it's kind of, we have one of one. We have one of a completely different type of game, even from like a player performance standpoint, some wildly different stuff. Anything strike your interest as you start to handicap the rest of this series, Pelicans and Thunder, which game two was last night?
Yeah, I'm in on the Thunder, man. 132 half-court offensive rating. They're playing this game of chicken with Jonas Valanciunas, and they're going to win. Like, the Valanciunas offense isn't a good way to score. Brandon Ingram can't score on Dort. CJ can't run an offense like he can without extra help from Zion. Meanwhile, OKC just chug it along. They are perfectly equipped to stop this team. I think they roll. I think they're going to sweep this thing. So feel pretty strong OKC tomorrow at only, you know, even money for the point if you want.
Yeah, OKC about a 1-point road favorite in game number three on the road in New Orleans to take a 3-0 series lead. Mike, we can get to the games coming up tonight in a little bit here, but let's talk about some of the series that'll have games tomorrow night. And why don't we start with the Timberwolves and the Suns, with Minnesota holding a 2-0 series lead, and honestly kind of like punking Phoenix in the first two games, especially in game two. Like, some of the clips that are getting circulated on Twitter, like the defensive possessions for Minnesota, where Phoenix can't get like 2 feet of room, like, to breathe, basically, their offensive players, because Minnesota's defense is so good. Like, Minnesota looked great in these first two games. Phoenix, about a 4-point favorite tomorrow night in game three. Don't want to go down 3-0 in the series. Any thoughts for you, game three, Suns, Wolves, and how you see the rest of the series playing out?
Yeah, not betting this one either. Just the contest rate is insane. 20% of the Sun shots have been 10-plus foot contested shots. Not a good shot. So they're making them, though, actually. So they've actually run pretty good there. Their transition is not there. They can't swing. They are as possible to score. But that's the rim they never had. So I'm off it. Like, I think my only stance on that one is, like, I think Vogel basically said they're going to run the same game plan defensively, which is just, like, pinch in, close the gaps on Ant-Man, and make other guys beat you. We saw Jaden, you know, plus 10,000 top score, insane. But yeah, I think that, you know, Ant unders is probably my position, but I'm not really too comfortable betting that. Crossing my fingers, the Suns making a series. I'm going to game four on Sunday, so hopefully it's not a sweep.
Mike, I'm curious if it, obviously we're trending toward the Timberwolves winning the series because they're up 2-0, and you just mentioned some of the things the Timberwolves defense is doing really well. Let's listen to a lot of the podcast content that's out there. You know, I think people are starting to prepare themselves for a Denver-Minnesota second round series, and I know there's kind of a lot of like a rumbling last year in the postseason, and even this year, like, will the Timberwolves do a lot of things that bother Denver, and the Timberwolves do some things that can kind of, you know, get Denver off of what they want to run, and the way the Twin Towers defense kind of works, all this stuff. Do you buy the idea that Denver-Minnesota would be like a close, hotly contested series the way both teams have played so far?
Interesting. I think I was trying to hit it. So the number I came up with was like minus 30. That was kind of where I was thinking.
Mike, unfortunately, the video connection is not great. So we're going to we'll X out the video. So just have your phone on you. We'll give you a quick call, and we'll get you on for like the final 5 minutes of the segment. So all good happens sometimes with the video setups. Mike was nice enough to join us on video with his pretty cool. I'd like to get a green screen, by the way.
Well, we have our own version of one, except it just actually has stuff on it. It's a green screen.
It's got stuff on it.
But it's just, you can't put your own thing on. It's a green.
It's like a real green screen, unfortunately.
It's a green screen.
Yes, yes.
And the color of it happens to be green, but that's that's all.
Exactly.
All these are really cool. Remember we absolutely did not want to put these up. We like resisted it with every fight. I dug in my heels big time. And then one day we like both put them up and we were like, Oh, it actually looks like really good. Like, it actually looks awesome. It's actually like way different. So the
I would
show's
say
like,
I was
any
actually a
change.
Jerk about it.
Right. Yeah.
Mike is back with us here. Ken, do you want to like re-tee up the question to Mike Gallagher?
Yeah, Mike, I know. I think you were given your series prices or kind of how you saw Timberwolves Nuggets playing out. I was just saying, like, obviously headed for Denver Minnesota round two, both teams up 2-0 in their respective series. If we got that second round, I think a lot of people think Minnesota would be a little problematic. Just how do you feel about the handicap of those two teams in the second round maybe coming up next week?
Yeah, I think Denver's going to have an edge. They're just too good. So, but Minnesota's equipped, right? They've got the size. They've got perimeter defense to throw it. You know, we've seen Jamal Murray struggle against McDaniels. McDaniels is playing freaking awesome. So I think it would be a series. Again, like last year, we saw they were hanging around without Jaden, Nas. They, you know, they gave them like their toughest series last year. So I was in on Minnesota. I hated their first round matchup. I've got some like 12-1s and they come out of the West. So I think they got a chance. It's a tough, like, you just can't bet against Denver. I will never, ever, ever bet against Denver. So yeah, it's a tough spot for them, but I think they've got the artillery to match up with them. Obviously Boston probably the best chance to knock off the Nuggets, but I would put Minnesota like pretty easily number two.
Nick and Ken here. You Bet on a Thursday, talking the NBA postseason and betting it with our good friend Mike Gallagher from Establish the Run. Mike is on Twitter at Mike S. Gallagher. Mike, important win in Game 2 the other night in L.A. for the Dallas Mavericks to knot that series up at a game apiece. Series shifting back to Texas. Dallas a 4.5-point favorite tomorrow night in Game 3, 211.5 the total. Any bets for you, Mavs Clippers Game 3, and the rest of the series and how you see it going?
Yeah, like I said last week, I'm like way too deep into Dallas, so I'm not going to bet anymore. But I like what I saw. I thought that Kawhi was a step slow. We'll see if he could get improved. But I thought Dallas really contained very well. P.J. Washington was fantastic defensively. I thought Derek Jones Jr. gave him good minutes. Obviously, Luka and Kyrie haven't like totally popped off yet. But I like with I like the defensive assignments they were playing. So I think Dallas has the upper hand on this one. I think it's priced about right. Again, if I had to pick, I think Dallas can kind of, you know, take care of business at home, and like Dallas in six was like my initial, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. But yeah, I really like how their defense has been good, man. Like I mentioned, their starting unit was the best lineup defensively with their minute allotment of 43 lineups. So I think Dallas is in a pretty good spot. But, you know, are we going to get Kawhi looking better? That would be the path of my Dallas stuff going down in flames.
So, Mike, obviously, like, Kawhi's injury status, which you're alluding to there, like, we don't really know what this is going to look like going forward. Also, even more pessimistic, probably, about whether Giannis is going to play for the Bucks the rest of the series. How is this going to look game to game? Like, is he ever going to return? And their series against the Pacers resumes tomorrow also. Pacers, and this, it's like a funny point spread to see. We know Giannis is out, but we know how the first two games were lined. Like, the Pacers, who have zero postseason experience aside of Siakam, basically, who scored about 900 points in the series, 5.5-point home favorites against Giannis less Milwaukee. That's the assumption being made in the betting market, and a high total because this game's actually been one of those games that's had scoring in it. Want to ask you about who you like the rest of the series, obviously, and I'm sure you've noticed like the low number of shots Tyrese Halliburton has been taking, gone under his points prop twice, if this is something that's kind of interested you as well. So Pacers, Bucks, and also Halliburton props.
Yeah. So, but on top of the Giannis thing, Chris Middleton didn't practice today. We saw him
right,
hurt his
right
point. Ankle. This isn't the same. Yeah, this is the same ankle. This is not the same ankle that cost him, you know, a month or so where he was constantly getting managed and all that. That's huge. And Middleton has been a really slow to recover. So, and Indy has killed them. They are out wide open, three-pointing them by a ton. They're outscoring them at the rim. They're outscoring them in transition. They're literally getting all the easy stuff over them. Meanwhile, like, the Dame pick-and-roll stuff just runs out of gas. They brought Miles Turner up in coverages more, and he was so good in that. They cut down Dame's pick-and-roll game substantially. They made Dame like, be really off-ball. That was not when he's at his best. His handling's way, way down. The Pacers like kind of got him figured out. I'm in on the Indy stuff early. I might hit it again. Like I was a chicken on not betting Pacers yesterday because they had so many advantages in Game 1 that didn't come to fruition, and they did. 131 half-court offensive rating in Game 2. They looked really good and really equipped. Without the rim pressure from Giannis is such a big deal. So I actually think Indiana could cover tomorrow.
All right, Mike, we only have about 2 minutes to go here. So let's go lightning round on the games tonight. If we get to Cavs magic rate, if not, that's okay. My Knicks up 2-0 on Philadelphia. Sixers, though, a 5.5-point favorite tonight in game 3, 2-4.5 the total. Any bets for you, Knicks and Sixers game 3?
Not yet. I'm curious to see how this D'Anthony Melton thing fills out minutes. Like, we've seen, you know, Kyle Lowry's been too good. So does Kelly Oubre get cut a little bit? Does Buddy Hield go away? So it's potential some unders there. But I'm very curious to see how D'Anthony Melton fits. He's been awesome. Obviously, the Melton lineup's been really, really good this year. He says he's going to play. So that would be a potential under spot that I'll be looking at. I'm not betting this game. New York just, like, how do they keep finding ways to win? It's the, you know, how do they keep getting away with this kind of thing from the Breaking Bad thing? But, yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at, looking for Philly unders. Does Josh Hart get left open? Maybe kind of better regression there. But, yeah, not too many stakes for me there.
Mike, we've had a couple guests on the show this week talking about Nuggets-Lakers. Actually, people that I've talked to, like, I can't believe this is true, like the Lakers in this game. And the thought is, I think, just that the officiating is going to be even more lopsided in their favor than it was in the first two games. They griped about that a lot after game two. Essentially a pick 'em kind of a game. Lakers down 2-0 at home. Any thought on that game here in about 30 seconds?
Yeah, I don't have much to say. I think the line's right. I mean, I want to bet Denver. Like, the Lakers had a lot of shooting luck in the last game. Like, the Lakers had so many things go right for them, and they lost, you know, so... Yeah, I'm probably staying away there. Definitely kind of a, of anyone, you know, the Sixers and the Lakers very have a, you know, bounce back 2-0 at home kind of feel more than anyone. And I could just kind of swing into real quick. I actually kind of love the Cavs today. They've shut off the water on the Magic so much. So Justin Fan, who I just did a show with, he's on the Magic. So we very rarely disagree, but I feel really good about the Cavs taking away Orlando's strengths. And I think they're going to come out there and put a 3-0 up on them. So I'm in on that at Moneyline.
We absolutely love our guy, Mike Gallagher. Follow him on Twitter at Mike S. Gallagher, one of the best in the business breaking down the NBA. EstablishTheRun.com for the matchups column, ETR NBA podcast to hear all of Mike's takes on the association. My friend, we sincerely appreciate the time. Good luck with all the bets coming up, and we look forward to catching up with you real soon.
Thanks so much, guys. Sorry for the technical issues, but I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The great Mike Gallagher joining us here on You Better, You Bet. Technical issues happen. That's okay. We got also got everything in. Didn't miss anything.
Yeah. And we weren't going to ask him about Cavs Magic. He's like, no, I really like Cleveland, which I appreciate because I think you like Cleveland. I also kind of like Cleveland. I really like the under in that game. We're going up to 201.5 again, really. Like, it's I'm good. I'm good on that one.
I'll say 90-78 Cavs final score tonight.
No, it would be a little higher than that. Like 90-81.
About the 91-79. On the other side, we will start with Nick Kostos's mock draft ahead of tonight's, you know, NFL draft.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
It is draft day in the National Football League, and while you wait for your team to make their pick, BetMGM Tonight, following us here on the BetQL Network. BetMGM Tonight, your destination for analysis and insights about your team's newest player. As the picks are being made, the crew going to bring you all the angles on how to bet win totals, division winners, award markets, and more. You can listen everywhere with the free Odyssey app. It kicks off at 7 o'clock Eastern tonight. Following us here, You Better You Bet, on the BetQL Network. Connor Allen from 444 and BetSports will join us in 20 minutes. Last minute bets on the NFL draft. Pete Blackburn from What Chaos, amazing hockey show. Pete will join us next hour on the show talking NHL postseason, including his Bruins against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we have just a bleep load of open space in which we will discuss tonight's NFL draft, including in the Power Hour final hour of the show, which will feature all our bets as well for the NBA and NHL postseason tonight. We'll get to my mock in a second, and we'll talk through a lot of this stuff, but let's start here, Ken, with what's happening with the Los Angeles Rams. We talked about in the first hour of the show that Diana Russini of The Athletic tweeting that the Rams are looking to trade into the top 10 of the draft. Her first tweet did not specify like what the Rams were looking for, which led to a lot of people speculating. Could it be a quarterback with Matthew Stafford on, like, very much the back nine of his career? Could it be a receiver with Cooper Kupp, like, basically, like, a full-on dust ball at this point? Could it maybe be for Brock Bowers? Could it be for a defensive lineman to replace the recently retired Aaron Donald? Ken, what's the latest here on what we're thinking, what's being reported about the Los Angeles Rams?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of rumor, right? So the Rossini tweet just says no quarterback. That's like the second tweet that follows up. Just, it's not going to be a quarterback. And so I think that still leaves rampant speculation. I think the thing, like, if you're on social media, you're talking to your friends, you're in chats, whatever, Brock Bowers is the name that gets said the most. It's just worth noting. I was surprised based on that reporting, like how little his draft position moved as a result of kind of everyone speculating that he was in the mix, to the degree that the over on 11.5 on his draft position has just gotten bet back to being a favorite again. I will also add that last night I bet his over on 11.5, and I think I have like -108 and -116. And like seeing the Rams trade, I just go like, oh no, like this is like the kind of thing that you're just, you got a bad feeling about, because it brings in another potential option of a team that maybe takes the player that you don't want to go there. The Bowers draft position is so interesting because it seems like, and this doesn't have to be true, prior to the Rams trade, I think it struck a lot of people, this is not unique to me, that if you were to like probability chart Brock Bowers, you would say like 0%, like 0%, I mean, until the Rams trade, until the Rams gossip, 0% 1 through 9 probably, and then 10 Jets, where he gets mocked all the time, some probability. And this is where it's like you can get into subjective and semantics kind of stuff, where it's like, was it 40%, 80%, whatever. He's one of the players that seems like could go there. And then 11 is Minnesota, who we kind of now get rumblings like maybe they're cooling on trading for J.J. McCarthy, trading up for J.J. McCarthy. Maybe they stay at 11 or move down or whatever.
That was, and they have T.J. Hockenson. Like they're not taking Bowers.
Right. They're not taking – well, the thought would be like, could the Colts trade to 11 and take Bowers if he was available, because the Colts apparently – again, being tied to Brock Bowers or an offensive skill position player. So I kind of did like, you know, you do the back of the notebook calculation and you go like, look, this bet's going to lose sometimes because the Jets are going to pick him. The Jets can pick a receiver if Rome Odunze falls. The Jets can pick an offensive lineman for depth. The Jets can trade the pick. The Jets can trade up. The Jets can do a lot of things, and they're all in the probability chart. And to me, like, Bowers just didn't occupy enough to make it like even money essentially each way on something like 11.5, especially once the Jeremiah mock comes out and he basically says like, ah, kind of hearing the Vikings are not maybe going to trade up for McCarthy. They would just take him there or later. It's like, oh, okay. So now 11 seems a little more stable than it was before too. Okay. And again, it's just a probability thing. And the Rams trade's the same thing. Like, it's just a problem. You do throw in another potential team that's going up for a skill position player or an offensive lineman. Like, it could be anything except a quarterback. So again, you have to kind of like put that into the probability chart. Nobody knows who it is. I just think it's really interesting that there can be so much speculation that like, well, Bowers, like that would be awesome. And then at the same time, you look at the betting market and be like, well, in the place that takes the most with rebets, how's Bowers' position? Actually, people are betting over now. Oh, well, that doesn't seem that, put it this way. That doesn't seem like people know. That doesn't seem like it's Bowers and it's close to being done or something along those lines. So I think it's a really fun conversation. Like, who do you think the Rams would go get? I mean, like a move up to, you know, 8, 9, 10, like anywhere in that range. Big time player, obviously. Is it the third wide receiver? Like, do they think someone's going to fall? Is it like, do they think Joe Alt's going to be there and the Chargers are going to trade and it's going to get weird? Like, again, like who is it for? That's a really fun conversation. The betting market is not like responding like there's an answer to this question right now that's known.
I'm really excited because we've been talking about all of this for a long time. Like 4 hours from now, we will know like a lot of the, not all of the questions, but we'll have the answers to at least some of them.
Third pick.
Literally, yeah.
The Patriots pick is probably about 4 hours from now, right? Or more,
not
or less.
Less.
Sorry.
Less. Definitely less.
Giants pick 4 hours from now? Nah, they'll be done too.
Well, because they're going to pick at 3.
Maybe it is the Patriots pick right about now. That's
Anything happening? Oh, Diana, I'll tell you what. Diana, like, not Russini getting a lot of flack, like The Athletic and the New York Times. The New York Times owned the failing New York Times. Owned The Athletic. It's not failing that much.
We love the New York Times. We can't call them failing. We play the word games every day.
So. I have to tell you something. Like, you could be like the world's biggest like Trump Republican, and this is not a criticism or like complimenting those. You could be the biggest conservative of all time and hate the New York Times and still admit that the New York Times word games are the best things ever. Like, period.
Yeah.
That's just it.
Every day.
And that's the end. That's the
every
end
day,
of the story.
Locked and loaded. Hated. We'll say hated the circles in the big crossword. Hated them, despised that concept, and it like made me not it, like I stopped doing.
When
it
is that? That was today's.
That was last
night.
It's today, so it came out at 10 o'clock last night. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so good on this concept. I'm so good on it.
I'll do it when you learn what the theme is.
You're like, oh, that's cute. Don't ever give me a crossword like this again, please. Please don't ever do that.
Did you play Connections today?
Yes, got it really fast.
I got one wrong and made me really upset.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yesterday's was weird, Fred. It took me a long time to get yesterday's.
I didn't get yesterday's because I had no idea like what a poodle skirt is.
Yeah. Well, we did the other three sets and then skirt was the only thing left. And I was just like, eventually I'm just like, I don't care what the connection is. Like, and it's the last one.
Yeah. And I play with my wife and then this woman, Dawn, who Ken knows from my wedding.
Absolutely.
And she's like,
love
yeah, like,
Dawn.
she's like, Nick, like how, of course you didn't know that. How would you know what a poodle skirt is? Like it was around when like she was younger. It's like, that's so great. I literally had no idea what it was. Anyway, back to the matter at hand. So the New York Times, The Athletic, like pay Diana Russini a ton of money. And everyone's like, oh my God, I think she is the person at the New York Times, like makes the most amount of money on the payroll. Everyone's like, how could this be? How could you do this? She's like kicking everybody's ass. Like she's doing an amazing, like well worth every penny. Like she is to them right now, coming out with tons of good of reports here, and we'll see how accurate it is. But like I'll tell you what, she's creating tons of content. She's doing a great job.
Yeah, she just tweeted.
I think she's awesome. Again, to be clear, not a criticism. I think this is money well spent by them on her. She's earning her money. She tweeted, "The Bears open for business at 9, telling teams they're ready to move for the right price." Well. Okay, if we wanted to do a really shallow connecting of dots here, the Rams are trying to go up to 10 or into the top 10, and now we have her telling us that there is a team in the top 10 that is interested in trading out. That's not like the New England Patriots or like the LA Chargers.
Huh. How about that? you put two and two together there too. Huh? That's really funny.
The other thing there is that presumably to get ahead of the Jets.
Right. Skill position player. Would be your guess there. Doesn't have to be Brad Bowers, but he'd be in the mix. Yeah.
I mean, it's possible they can move up for an offensive lineman, but all everyone keeps saying is how deep this draft is a tackle. And
right.
It just, and I forget who tweeted that. I remember someone said this, and the person is reputable, whoever it is, that I think it might've been Schrager, who's like very tight with McVay. That's like well known that Schrager and McVay are tight, saying that, I think this might be McVay's first ever first round pick. I don't think they've made a first round pick since Jared Goff, and that's when Jeff Fisher was the coach. McVay's never made a first round pick since he's been the Rams coach, that they're taking offense, that they're drafting offense. And to me, offense does not mean offensive lineman. That means like skill position player for Sean McVay.
Means Brock Bowers or Roma Dunze if he falls. Or Neighbors if he falls, which is unlikely if 9 is what we're talking about. But the funny thing here is there's like an inevitable slide. By the way,
of course you got Connections today so fast because I had like it was the spreadsheet thing. Like, I had no idea what any of these things were.
That was like the first one I got. I go, those are cell things.
No clue what that was. Zero. Sorry that I just
spoiler
jumped in
alert.
There, but I like remembered that. I was like, I remember even thinking like Ken probably got this in 3 seconds, like all the spreadsheet things.
I did. I got it in like 5 seconds. It was the first one I got. Because I'm a huge dork. Whatever, it's fine. One of the clues in crossword was like the biggest name in sports betting. I was like, I can't wait to hear this is, and it's a rival sports book that I can't mention. It wasn't BetMGM. I wrote BetMGM in, even though there weren't enough letters. But you know,
Strands did something last week on like a character classes in like Dungeons and Dragons, and I got it in like 4 seconds.
I got
seconds,
that so fast. Yeah, my wife was like, we got halfway done with it. And my wife goes, I still don't understand. And I just go, it's okay. It'll be done in a couple minutes.
That's what she said.
Right. So it's just, it's like, it's really fun. It's just like that one was so dumb. Cause I just go, I can't believe that this is this is my area of expertise. Like I got this. And my area of expertise is writing like the word paladin in a freaking word search thing on the New York Times. Unbelievable. Figure like Bowers are the third receiver that falls. That's like those are the two things that make the most sense. I guess the kind of like fun pretzel here that you tie yourself into, like if they're exploring the trade already, I think I said this already, but I just think it's like fun to work it out. If they're exploring the trade, let's say the Rams and the Bears are talking about the 9th overall pick. Like if it has to be for someone that they think is very likely to be there at the 9th overall pick, which isn't the three receivers. It's none of them. Like, even if it's Adunze, you'd want to, like, wait a really long time to know that he was there. Bowers is gonna be there. So if it is him, like, you do this, you get him. That's how it works. Like, that's how it works. Or if you really like one of the tackles, it could be that. But to your point, like, we don't think that's what it is. Rossini says it's not a quarterback. Like, I get the other possibility is, well, there's plenty of possibilities. One other possibility is, like, it's an edge, and nine's just the only one they can trade with. So it's not jumping the Jets, it's just jumping to nine because you want to get, whatever, Dallas Turner because you don't think Atlanta's going to pick him, for example, something like that. And, or you want to get, you know, one of the edges, whoever your edge of choice is.
I don't think that's what it is.
I agree.
I'm just filling out the whole chart here.
We're just filling out the whole chart.
Like, and I just want to say, like, that's like an educated guess by me. That's not just me from, like, shooting from the hip. Like, I feel reasonably confident in that.
Right. It doesn't have to be jumping the Jets. It could just be that the Bears are the ones that answered the phone call and, like, actually said, sure, we're interested in it. Maybe the Jets don't want to do it. Maybe the Jets still think they can go up and get a receiver and move from 10 up to do it. So, like, they don't want to trade down, even if like, you would call them. So it doesn't have to be Bowers. But look, like, if we get to the draft and it's Bowers, it's an easy narrative to tie together. Offensive coach, first round pick for the first time, Jets mocked Bowers, Rams want to get in front of him, take this, you know, clean, kind of, like, awesome tight end prospect. Totally possible. It would just be, I just want to update his draft position one more time just to be like, is this getting, I mean, it's just like, it's just not there. Like, it's just not being bet. So, like, that's a fun story and you can bet it now at a really good price, but no one's doing that. So, like, do with that what you will.
Yeah. I think this tells you, like, the Bears are not taking a receiver with the second first round pick. Because if they were, like, why would they trade down? Unless like, they felt like they were all going to be gone.
Right, but you don't know the timing of trades, too. Like, it could just, if Diana Rossini is reporting discussions, it could just literally be discussions where, like, hey, like, after the eighth pick, we're going to give you a call and, like, see if, like, we want to do some business based on who's there. So, like, there could be, like, maybe the Bears are like, man, we don't know if, like, Odunze is going to be there at nine. And if he's not, see ya. And, like, well, yeah, we're willing to kind of get out. If you want to come in and take Brock Bowers or you want to take somebody else, like, we're good with that. You never know, like, how this stuff goes. Like, they haven't consummated the trade yet. I guess that's the important thing.
And maybe it's, you know, I'm creating hypotheticals here, but whatever. Yeah. We don't
But
have
they're so fun. Really, you know? This is the best part. Because, like, look, there nobody has the goods right now on anything because it would be in the market. Nobody has. So if you're like, well, you guys don't have any info, guess what? Nobody does. Look at the markets right now. Nobody knows. Look at the third overall pick. Think anybody's got the goods right now? Come on. So it's just the hypotheticals are the fun part. The mock is the fun part. Play out the strand, like play out his strands, just the thread of like, if this, then this, then this, then this, try to see if they're like, are there big prices that are actually reasonable to go. I said this at the start of the show, I think, or maybe off the air, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, who's making all those picks? We have no idea probably. Oh, could be literally anybody. Like, it doesn't have to be the position that team needs. And I think that's what we're figuring out based on the reporting that's starting to come out.
I wonder if the Bears, like, know, like, I know that they know this. They know, like, the Rams report is out there, and they're basically being like, hey, Jets.
Right.
Like, you want your guy?
Pony up.
Like, pick up the phone, baby.
Yeah.
Is that a Travis Scott song?
Buy out of this Brock Bowers. I don't know. Yeah.
Coming up next. I'm trying to think of how to work like Lady Gaga telephone into this, and I can't because we're out of time. Connor Allen gives us last minute bets for the NFL draft on the other side. Nick and Ken, you better you bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. On the bet. Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
All right, a lot of NFL draft conversation coming up next hour on the show. We'll start with the Nick Costos mock draft, or maybe we'll just get tons of news and just keep talking about that. We'll see how it goes. Pete Blackburn will join us from the What Chaos Hockey Show. Pete will join us 60 minutes from now. Love having Pete Blackburn on the show, one of the best out there when it comes to breaking down the NHL. Pete will join us to talk all things Stanley Cup playoffs and betting on the Stanley Cup playoffs. Power Hour Final Hour will feature all our bets for tonight. We are a little more than 2 hours away from the start of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit, Michigan. And joining us right now, live on the line from Detroit, Michigan, one of our favorites here on You Better You Bet, and that is the great Connor Allen, who's been grinding NFL draft props for months now. He's joined us a couple times throughout the process, and it's great to have him here on draft day. Connor doing great work, of course, for our friends at 4for4 and BetSperts, co-host of the Move the Line podcast on Twitter at Connor Allen NFL. Connor, welcome back to the show. It's Nick and Ken. Happy draft day, my friend, to you and yours.
I just can't wait for it to be here by this point. It's been a long, long grind, and there's rumors swirling, and things are changing every 5 minutes, it seems. So at this point, I'm mostly just putting my phone down and kind of just leaving what we already have. But, you know, I'm never one to shy away from some last-minute opportunities if something comes up.
Well, let's talk about what you think, Mike, because begs the logical follow-up question. You're there. I'm sure you're seeing the same stuff on social media that we're seeing, but you're also there. So maybe privy to a little bit more info, talking to people that we're not talking to. Give us something late. This could be the Rams rumors about trading into the top 10, and that makes you want to bet something. This could be whether you think a trade is consummated at 3, like something that's about to happen here in the next couple hours that you think might be interesting.
Yeah, I think that the Rams stuff is getting a little bit louder and louder. So I think that's interesting. And from what we're hearing, it might be for a tight end. I mean, for Brock Bowers, which would be really interesting. We're looking at like 10-1, 12-1 for Rams to draft a tight end. I mean, Brock Bowers just, in my mind, perfectly matches up with what the Rams would love to do. So I think that makes a ton of sense there. If they're able to move it in the top 10 and potentially take him, I don't even know if they need to move in the top 10. I think that, you know, like 11, 12 could make sense. But if they view the Jets as a real threat, not surprising to try to move to that 9 or 8 spot there specifically. Beyond that, I think that the Patriots have been rumored to move around a lot. Like at this point, like, you know, I think that the rumors initially of them moving were not really real. And at this point, you know, there's pretty strong rumblings that they want JJ McCarthy at this point and are open to moving down and then maybe back up. For me, in my mind, I think it's a little bit too messy. And so I think there's a little bit of value here at the number 3 pick, sticking and picking McCarthy and betting a little bit there. So that's where I've shifted a little bit more of my late action towards the top.
Anything else in like the top of the draft that you've like changed your opinion on, made bets on recently? This could be Arizona at 4, the Chargers at 5, the Giants at 6, teams trading up to those spots. So if you think right now as your best guess, or at least like the way you want to bet it, Caleb Daniels, and it sounds like you like at least you want to bet McCarthy to go 3rd. What else here in the top 5, top 6 picks in the draft?
Yeah, so kind of the fallout there from that would be, I think the teams would aggressively, and specifically the Giants and the Vikings, would be aggressively trying to trade up to the 4th pick, and that the Cardinals would potentially be interested in trading down at that point, which would make Drake May to go 4th. You're looking at like 6-1, 7-1 for him to be the 4th pick at this point. I think that's interesting. Marvin Harrison Jr. to go 5th. I think there's multiple outs for that. I know that all this team has been on J.C. Latham. I know that all this team has been on, you know, Joe Alter and offensive lineman. But I still think there's plenty of ties there with Marvin Harrison Jr. And the Chargers, you know, running back to his dad and all that stuff. I think that there's plenty of room for them to take Marvin Harrison Jr. here, given their wide receiver depth. So I think that is interesting, like 7-1 as well. And then from there, 6 is really tough. 6 and 7, I'm having a tough time with. But I think 8, 9, and 10, you can sprinkle a couple of long shots because the Falcons could be, you know, viable to trade out. So like a Roma Dunza there could make sense, again, at longer odds. And then pick 9, Byron Murphy has been seamed up massively. But I've heard that, you know, they're still really interested in a guy like Jared Verse potentially stick at 9. So I think a guy like Verse makes way more sense than Byron Murphy after the Bears drafted defensive tackle in the 2nd round, in the 3rd round, re-signed Andrew Billings to a multi-year deal. Like, I think the Verse makes a ton more sense to pair with Montez Sweat than a guy like Byron Murphy. So that's how I'm approaching it right now. Jared Verse is 75-1 to be first defensive player, which I put a little bit on as well.
I think with Dallas Turner is still like a really big favorite to be the first defensive player in that market, -212 at this offshore to be the first defensive player, and Verse like a huge price. So I think like if you're kind of listening to Connor's answers and be like, wow, it doesn't sound like he's like super confident about a lot of stuff. I'll just reiterate, no one is. And so Connor's approach is basically every team can trade, every team seemingly wants to, and that might create a lot of chaos. Chaos means I'm going to bet some things that are not expected to happen, and if I hit one of them or two of them, maybe that's a really good idea. So kind of, you kind of gave us like the top 10 there about just like individual little small like kind of like jackpot kind of bets that you like. One of the other things that tends to happen, especially after the 10th overall pick, is this idea of like stock rising, stock falling. And I know like a lot of reporters and insiders will always tweet out like, this guy making some noise, like could get into the first round, could be a top 10 pick, could be a top 15 pick. Then on vice versa, you hear like the medicals are bad on this other player and he's going to fall out of it. Have you heard any of that stuff? Kind of like 10 to 32 players that you think could move up really fast, down really fast here in the last like kind of 48 hours.
Yeah, Xavier Worthy is getting a ton of hype. We saw him mocked recently to the Colts at 15. You know, I think that he's on the Rams' radar if they don't trade up to get Bowers. Like, I think that he is a very interesting option, you know, in the early 20s. So his over-under is a little tough and really going to, like, really juice 27, 28. I think if you can find a non-juiced version of that, I think that's really interesting. So I think that that's a guy who's rising pretty quickly. A guy who I've heard is falling that I'm not necessarily buying, I think, you know, Liatu Latu, you know, we've heard has been falling a lot. He was mocked like really late by, you know, multiple sharp mock drafters. But it just seems peculiar to me that that's coming out of the last minute and that nothing throughout the entire process, whether it be the combine, whether it be pro days, whether it be visits, like none of the medical flags were really raised and he was still being mocked, you know, in the top 10 to 15 during that process. And now we're just seeing it like 48 hours out. So I still think that he's an option for the Falcons at 8 potentially. So I'm not necessarily buying that fall, but he is someone that's being rumored to be falling pretty dramatically.
You better you bet with Nick and Ken here on draft day, getting bets for the NFL draft with our friend Connor Allen, live from Detroit, the site of the NFL draft, 4 for 4 Betsperts and the Move the Line podcast on Twitter at Connor Allen NFL. Connor, we know that the top four quarterbacks, Caleb, Daniels, May, McCarthy, all going to go tonight. Michael Penix and Bo Nix, you mentioned like reputable mock drafters, like basically all of them have six quarterbacks going and six quarterbacks going like early in the NFL, like in the top like half of the first round, we're going to see six quarterbacks go. Despite that, the draft position for both Penix and Nix, 32 and a half. Now, to be fair, Penix is juiced way under, like almost minus 700 to the under. And I'm just looking at BetMGM right now. They're our show sponsor, of course. Bo Nix under 32 and a half, minus 145. So basically, the market is saying like six quarterbacks, like that's the probability they're going to go in the first round. Do you agree with that? How are you betting Michael Penix and Bo Nix?
Yeah, I don't think Penix is really bettable at this point. There's been a lot of steam with multiple teams for a guy like Penix, which I think is notable. But a guy like Bo Nix, you know, I've been taking a little bit more over in the last couple of hours here because this got steamed down dramatically. We were seeing Bo Nix over 32.5, you know, minus 200, minus 250 at one point. Now we're seeing plus money on the over, and I don't really think a whole lot has changed outside of multiple, you know, reputable mock drafters kind of putting him in the first round. I almost think that some of that is like kind of playing the mock draft scores or just trying to get more players in the first round to be correct. Because you know, if you're mocking Denver, if you're mocking him to, you know, the Raiders, I just really don't see that happening at 12, 13. It almost requires a trade in. So like at plus money for me, I think it makes a ton of sense to take a Bo Nix over here. And Penix is tough. It seems like there's enough people enamored with his skill set and his upside that if you can get over the injury history, you know, four season ending injuries, then I think that, you know, maybe you can get on board there. But I think that the Bo Nix one is still a good look as a guy who's, you know, a little bit limited, I think, in his skill set and upside, but is able to execute a system, which in my mind does not scream a first round quarterback.
Connor, my last question, maybe here in about a minute, give me one other draft position. And because I'll be honest, like, I don't follow this stuff as closely. Like, I look at the board on, I mean, some of these lists go like 50 deep. Like, I haven't heard of some of these players. Like, give me something like a little further down, which is probably a draft position at that point. There are a ton of them listed. A player that maybe that we can take advantage of, something you've heard something about.
Yeah, there's two guys that I think further down the board, depending on the book that you're able to look it at. So one was posted at some shops was Peyton Wilson. His over-under opened at 40 and is now down to like 60 and a half. And at this point, like, I mean, he is a kind of a tweener linebacker and has multiple season-ending injuries. And so we're looking at a guy who I don't think even goes in the first two rounds. So I think his over is interesting. And then Xavier Leggett's over-under has been kind of juiced downwards a lot. Like, it's opened at 42. And then there's the videos going viral of Leggett, like, with the Panthers, and the Panthers basically, or him saying, like, the Panthers are going to take me if I'm there at 33. You know, like, that's where I'm going. And then Dave Canales came out and was like, yeah, I told 50 other guys the exact same thing. You know, so I don't know. I think that this line now is sitting at 33.5. There are some teams that are willing to take a wide receiver here, but now you're basically just betting on late first round or the Panthers. And in my mind, I think the over there is pretty interesting at 33.5.
Connor, give us one other thing that you like coming up for the NFL draft in 30 seconds to close.
Yeah, I think one more that I'm fading the steam on would be A guy like J.C. Latham, I know that everyone loves him at five. I know people have talked about the Chargers picking him, but this over-under has moved to like 9.5 in some spots, 10.5 in others. I think he goes high. I think he goes top 15. I just don't think that he goes in the top 9 or 10 picks here.
Connor, give us six other things that you like coming up for the NFL draft. we appreciate it, buddy. Connor does awesome work, is well worth your time on social media at Connor Allen NFL. I love 4 for 4. I think they do an awesome job. Betsports does an awesome job. The Move the Line podcast is great. We're big Connor Allen fans on the show. My friend, we appreciate it. Enjoy the draft tonight. Enjoy Detroit. Say hi to Kanish. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Let's make some money tonight.
All right. The great Connor Allen here with us on You Better You Bet.
Yeah.
Is Kanish going to the draft?
You know, I didn't ask. It's so funny. I talked to him this morning, and I wasn't like, hey, you going? I know he's tweeted a lot today about like the good old days when he knew what every single draft pick was and could bet infinity dollars on it, and just it's not really what's going on right now. But maybe he's going. I don't know. Can I give you a price update on something Connor mentioned real quick? He was saying like the Bo Nix position been getting bet like in a lot of different ways, and he ended up playing some over, I think, at plus money. That was available about 20 minutes ago. Over 32.5, now more heavily juiced than the under for Bo Nix. So that's sort of a recent development. Doesn't take a lot of money to make that happen, but finally someone I feel like has embraced logic and reason is like, Bo Nix is going to go in the first round? What? Again, it's more what the teams want to do. It's not what I think. I think it's really funny that this is even a conversation.
We'll start next hour with a big market update, everything that's happening at the top of the NFL draft, and then we'll do Nick Costos' mock draft here on draft day. You Better You Bet on the BetQL Network.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL.